Approximately 850 years ago, there was a Xeris Shmad in Teman. The Jews at the time sent a series of questions to the Rambam, seeking his guidance. And in response to those questions, the Rambam wrote what we know as Igeres Teman. The Rambam tries to give religious historical perspective on anti-Semitism. He says that when we're attacked, when Rahman Latzlan even killed, the war which Sonei Yisrael are waging is not really a war against us, but we're the proxies. It's a war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected us as the Am HaNivchar, Rambam doesn't quote it, but presumably the Maim HaChazal, that Har Sinai, Misham Yod Asina LeUlam, that Maim HaChazal is echoing in the Rambam's mind. From the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected us as the Am HaNivchar, the Umos HaOlam rejected that Bechira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ritzonam Lihilachem Ba'Hashem, writes the Rambam, V'lasos Meriva. V'ein lecha zman me'oz shenitna lanu Torah zohat zmanenu zeh. From the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Mamar HaSinai made us the Segula Mikol HaAmim, Malneches Kohanim V'Goy Kodosh, whenever there's been a Melech, Ovid Avodah Zorah, Gover or Machriach or Misnake or Misgaber or Anos, the intent and the attempt have been Listo Tarasen. Rambam goes on to say how the Sonei Yisrael, and again, as Chazal said, Be'anusa Misanecha, Eilu Sonei Yisrael, Misanecha Nosu Rosh Al Amcha Yarim Rusod. There's an equation between Sinas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachman Letzlan and Sinas Yisrael. The Sonei Yisrael have employed two approaches, two tactics. One has been brute physical force to try to undo Rachman Letzlan, to try to overturn that Bechira just through brute physical force to kill us. Then they also, the Rambam says, Amalek, Sisra, Sancherit, Nebuchadnezzar, Titus, Adrianus, L'chayotzei b'hem. The second approach, the second tactic, has been to try to undermine Torah, Rahman al-Islam, destroy Torah through argumentation, through disputation. Something that the Rambam says the Adomim, the Parsim, and the Yevonim engaged in. And then the Rambam says that subsequently in history, Christianity and Islam combined the two approaches. They tried to destroy Torah, to overturn Bechiras Yisrael by combining both approaches, both the sword and the pen. The Navi Yeshayahu, the Rambam says, already prophesied, referring to these two types of tactics and fronts in the war. Again, ultimately, it's a war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How obviously, ultimately, it can never prevail, it will never prevail. Kol kli yutzar alayach lo yitzlach. Any any weapon that will be formed against you, that will be directed against the Yitzlach, cannot succeed, will not succeed. And any words spoken, any attempt through disputation, through polemics, tarshii. No, you'll prevail. You'll be able to vanquish them. Maybe a word about Bechiras Yisrael. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah quotes from Maseches Tamid how the Shir Shel Yom of each day reflects what happened on that corresponding day during Sheshes Yimei Breishis. So the Baisa then explains that the Shir Shel Yom for Yom Sheni, we say the capital in Tehillim of Godol Hashem Umuhulo Maod. Al Shem, what does that correspond to in terms of Sheshes Yimei Breishis? Al Shem Shechilek Maisav Umolach Aleihem. What happened on the second day of Sheshes Yimei Breishis? Vayasa Lukimis Arakia Bayavdel. On the second day of Sheshes Yimei Breishis, there was Havdalah. Kadosh Baruch Hu introduced distinction, differentiation, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, "V'nis'alo v'yoshev b'morim." Dugma to Godel Hashem u'mehulo ma'od be'ir elokeinu har kotcho. The same way, the capital talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu made a bechira of Yerushalayim. There's a special Hashras Hashchina in Yerushalayim. So that reflects the idea of the reality of differentiation, distinction. To differentiate, to distinguish, is a prerogative of the Melech. It's an expression of Malchios. It's the Melech's prerogative to elevate whom he wants, to introduce differentiation and distinction. It's a prerogative of Malchus. In the third book of Shemoneh Esrei on Yom Neroi, we have the series of paragraphs uvachein. So the Rav Zichron Levracha used to say that he thought that historically this had been Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's introduction to Malchus. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, of course, tells us that there's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva whether Malchus is integrated into the third Baruch of Shemoneh Esrei or the fourth Baruch of Shemoneh Esrei. Hagam that we obviously follow Rabbi Akiva and we say the full Malchus with the 10 Psukim in the fourth Baruch of Shemoneh Esrei. But nevertheless, we've retained Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's introduction to his Malchus. So these Uvacheins are Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's. It's the analog to what Aleinu and the Alkei Nekada is within the context of the fourth bracha for Rabbi Akiva's Malchus. So within the Uvacheins, so we say Uvachein Yiskade Shimcha Hashem Alekeinu Yisrael Amecha Vayushalayim Yirecha Valtzion Mishkan Kvodecha. Because Malchios expresses itself. It's a prerogative of Malchios. Malchios expresses itself and manifests itself through Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercised his prerogative in Bechiras Yisrael, and that's what the Rambam says, instigated from the day of Mamon Har Sinai, instigated the Sinas Yisrael. It's interesting also in terms of Bechira as an expression of Malchios, differentiation, distinction. In the first bracha of Birkas Kriya Shema, we say at night. So what's the whole bracha about? Asher b'dvar ma'ariv aravim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguishes between day and night. B'chochma posayach sha'arim, u'v'sfuna mashana itim, machlef es zmanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguishes between day and night. Now, somach l'chasima, you're supposed to recap what the substance of the bracha was about. What's our Samach L'chasima, at least the way we have the bracha, is Kel Chai V'Kayon Tamin Mlot Aleinu L'Olam V'Ed. how does that tie in to what the whole bracha has been about? Now, so the answer is that the whole bracha has been about Malchios. It's an expression, it's a manifestation, it's a prerogative of Malchios Havdalah to introduce distinction, differentiation is prerogative of Malchios. So the same way we see and we experience that manifestation of your Malchios in the Ma'aveh Yom, who may be Loila, so too we should see it fully in Kelchai V'Kayam Tamidim Lochaleinu. The Netziv offers a complementary perspective on this perennial reality of Sinas Yisrael, of anti-Semitism. He comments on the passage in the Haggadah. The Netziv has this in two places. He has it more b'hachava in an essay. I think it was included in the handout. She'er Yisrael, but I think he also has it more compactly in his perush on the Haggadah. So the Netziv comments on the paragraph in the Haggadah. V'hisha amdal avoseinu v'lanu. It's a little cryptic what the antecedent, v'hi is a pronoun, what the antecedent of v'hi is. V'hisha amdal avoseinu v'lanu. Shavol echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chal avoseinu. Ela shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chal avoseinu v'akadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyodah. Says in Netziv, let's just read and let the words register. No chidushim, no, one doesn't even need penetrating insight into the words, just to let the words register. B'chol dor v'dor, omdim aleinu l'chal haseinu. We may or may not be aware of it. Sometimes Sinas Yisrael is open and unchecked and unleashed, Rachman Litzlan. But other times, it's not that there isn't Sinas Yisrael, there's a latent Sinas Yisrael. There's a Sinas Yisrael which is kevusha, which is hidden, which may not be above surface, but is beneath the surface. The Rishayim, just to cite the most recent examples, such as those in Jersey City and those in Muncie, they're always around. B'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chal haseinu. It's just that b'chastei hamakom, often we're unaware of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom, that it's suppressed, that it's kept in check, that it's subterranean rather than active on the surface. What's the Vihisha Onda? So says the Netziv, the Vihisha Onda is that reality of perennial anti-Semitism really is something as excruciatingly painful and tragic as it is, it's something that also sustains us, because it enforces that separation of Am Levadad Yishkon, which is supposed to exist. And the Netziv says, not to the exclusion of appropriate security measures, not to the exclusion of appropriate political hishtadlos, but the Netziv says that ultimately, spiritually, we're really in the driver's seat. The Sinas Yisrael, that sort of visceral hatred is always present. Again, if we don't see it, and until recently we didn't really see it, it's lurking and it's latent. And it's in response to us, whether or not it's going to mushroom, Rachman al-Islam, whether what's latent is going to become open and active. Ela yesh lanu lehizbonin azos mitzidenu. Ein lanu lachko ema atam shehigia lezeh mitzidam. The question is not, why is there anti-Semitism in the year 2020? There's always anti-Semitism. The question is, why is it not suppressed? Why is it open? Why are we being affected by it? It's something that should trigger a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Al ma higanu anachnu l'chach b'hashkochas Hashem. Why is it that previously, in earlier generations, again, the sinner was suppressed? And now it's no longer suppressed. Now it's oppressing us. Nitziv tells us that in a religious context, on the spiritual level, again, not to the exclusion of political establishments, of security measures, but ultimately, the most critical element of the response is a cheshbon ha-nefesh that it's supposed to provoke for us. A cheshbon ha-nefesh b'chlal, but clearly, the Nitziv indicates a cheshbon ha-nefesh b'frat in terms of assimilation. When we make that cheshbon ha-nefesh in terms of assimilation, it's a cheshbon ha-nefesh which needs to be made individually as well as collectively. So we need to be aware that there are two forms of assimilation. Assimilation comes in two ways, in two forms. This practical assimilation. When Rachmana Litzlan, a Jew, acts the way he shouldn't act, but instead copies foreign, alien practices and absorbs foreign and alien influences. So that's practical assimilation. But there's also ideational or axiological assimilation. Could be that on the surface, everything the person is doing conforms more or less to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But in terms of the person's values, in terms of the person's hashkofas, in terms of the person's beliefs, in terms of the person's convictions, that there's been pernicious assimilationist influence in making a cheshbon ha-nefesh. So we have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh on both levels, not only to look for practical assimilation, but also to see if, Rachmana Litzlan, there are any indications of ideological, axiological, ideational assimilation. I think that there's some quote from Michel Salanta. I'm not sure that I'm going to reproduce it accurately, so don't re-quote it in his name based on this. One might wonder, so am I sort of preaching to the choir? To talk about assimilation, so one doesn't need to talk about assimilation in the Beis Medrash. One needs to go far away from the Beis Medrash to talk about assimilation. So I think they say from Ripsal Salanta something along the following lines. Ripsal Salanta said that when a yeshiva bacha, in Lita maybe he said, is mevatel haseder, a Jew in Paris is mechalel Shabbos. The heart of Kal Yisrael are the B'nai Torah. As the heart pumps blood, so goes the entire body. I think from Baron Kotler they say that what's being ma'akev Mashiach from coming is not all the secular Jews, because almost all of them, Hashem Yerachem Atinoka Shenishbu. They don't know any better. But we can know better and should know better. The Netzivs just shining the spotlight on that line in the Haggadah of B'chol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chalasenu provides occasion perhaps to share me Hirhure Libi. I often have the impression, and I hope I'm mistaken, that Jews today, and that we today, lack the appropriate historical consciousness. What does that mean? What does it mean to have appropriate historical consciousness? So Rav Zichron Levracha has in a few places the following remarkable, profound, fundamental insight. There are many mitzvahs zechira in the Torah. Zocha sayom ezeh sheyitzosim imitzrayim. Zocha es asher osa lecha hamolek. To remember means that I lived through a certain experience, and I remember the experiences of my childhood, and then I remember the experiences of my young adulthood. I lived those experiences. I experienced them. I'm in a position to remember them. What do you mean, remember the day you left Mitzrayim? No. Shouldn't the Torah have said, be aware of it? Be cognizant? Know that your ancestors left Mitzrayim? How do you remember what you didn't live through? How do you remember, is that really the verb that captures what the mitzvah is? So says the Rav, and this is so fundamental, there's supposed to be a merging of the collective national consciousness with one's own personal consciousness. But what does that mean? Maybe a little bit of a mashal nadav adomeh. Let's say you go over to a Holocaust survivor and you ask him, what does he have documentation? Can he refute the claims of the Rishayim of the Holocaust deniers? So maybe he'll roll up his sleeve, or maybe even without rolling up his sleeve, he'll just say, what do you mean proof? I don't need to prove anything. I don't need to refute anything. I was there. I lived through it. Now imagine that this Holocaust survivor has children. And these children remember throughout their childhood waking up to their fathers having nightmares. And they remember that the fathers instinctively recoiling from anything German. Akedekach, what happened? They absorbed. They weren't there. The father was there. But the experience is something that seeps into their own consciousness as well. And they know with that same immediacy and absolute certainty that the Holocaust happened the same way as though it were their personal experience. Because that's what they got. There's been a merging here of the parent's consciousness with the child's consciousness. That's what's supposed to happen collectively. The Torah says, remember, not be aware, not read in the history books, remember, that you left Mitzrayim. To be a Jew means to be rooted in Jewish history and committed to Jewish destiny. The recent outbreak of these evil and horrific expressions of anti-Semitism should rightfully concern us. They should worry us. They should trouble us. But they shouldn't shock us. If we're shocked, it's an indication that there's something missing in that historical consciousness. Because any Jew with a historical consciousness, where there's been that merging of the historical consciousness with his personal consciousness, has experienced and knows that b'chol dor v'dor ondem aleinu. I remember many years ago in a drasha, the Rav Zichron Livracha said that he had been asked, people asked, could it happen here? Here meaning the United States of America. Could a Holocaust happen here? And I remember how emphatically he said, of course it could happen here. It could happen anywhere. The 21st century is no different. The United States of America is no different. In Spain was the golden age until it was the Inquisition and they were burning us. And in Germany, the most cultured society, where Jews were patriotic and Jews were welcomed into the elite circles of intelligentsia, everything was wonderful until there was a Holocaust. That's what the Rav said. Could it happen here? And he answered emphatically, of course it could happen here. If one has the appropriate historical consciousness, one should be rightfully worried, concerned, troubled, but not shocked. Just not to be misunderstood. I don't know where things are headed in this country in terms of anti-Semitism, and that wasn't intended by way of any prediction, and halavai that we'll look back on this as a sad and painful and tragic chapter and turn the page and resume the reality that has characterized things until now, that Moshe described in Igros Moshe as America, as a Malchus Shel Chesed for us. I'm not making any predictions. I don't have any crystal ball. But a person has to know that it could happen. A person has to know that B'chol Dor V'Dor, that's the reality, that B'chol Dor V'Dor is Omdim Aleinu. The Netziv's perspective that flare-ups in anti-Semitism should induce a chesed and nefesh on our part perhaps also gives us a framework into which to integrate a development that the Rav Zichron Livracha describes in a drasha that that the Rav Shechta reprints in Divi HaRav, the Rav describes and analyzes that there's a second form of anti-Semitism that the Rambam didn't speak of. The Rambam didn't speak of it because it didn't exist in his day. The anti-Semitism of which the Rambam spoke was an anti-Semitism which was a religious-based anti-Semitism. But in modern times, that religious-based anti-Semitism still exists. I think the Rishayim in Jersey City thought that they were the Am HaNivcha. I think that's what was reported. Religious-based anti-Semitism still exists, but there's also an equally pernicious and equally vicious and equally vitriolic secular anti-Semitism. Hitler, yimach shemo, killed Mishumadim also. He wasn't it wasn't religious based. It's a constant in the Jewish experience. Again, at times it's a stronger force and more open and more overt. At other times it ebbs and declines. But it's a constant. And even as Rachmana Litzlan, increasing numbers of Jews post-Haskalah became secular, so there arose in response to that secular anti-Semitism as well. On a natural level, anti-Semitism is never our fault. The anti-Semites, if possible, look for a pretext. If they can't find one, they'll manufacture one. As in the whole history, for instance, of blood libels. And sometimes they don't even look for that fig leaf. And they indulge their rishus without any pretext. Anti-Semitism on a natural level is never our fault. And nevertheless, not because, again, with all this in mind, nevertheless, Chazal say that we're not supposed to act inappropriately and provoke the guy. When Esther wants, I think it's Kva'uni Lados, when Esther wants that the Yom Tov of Purim should be established, so Chazal initially resist and say, Kina at Mareres Aleinu Bein HaUmos. And then Esther says, no, Esther responds that, no, Protsuva Ni Al Divi HaYomim Shoshal Modai Paras. No, they've already recorded this, they've already perpetuated this anyway. I think the Mishnah Berurah in one place writes about how Jews shouldn't live ostentatiously in terms of flaunting their wealth. A Jew shouldn't provoke kinna. Not that the anti-Semites need a pretext. Not that it's our fault, but afal pi chayim, a Jew is not supposed to act inappropriately in a way to provoke. Another thing that we need to keep in mind is that the reality of b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chal oseinu notwithstanding, the reality of such contemporaries, notwithstanding, that's not supposed to affect, or Rachman Litzlan, compromise our yashrus. A Jew has to operate and live by the exacting standards of yashrus. My great uncle, the Baron Soloveitchik, Zechanah Livracha, used to tell the story. His father, Moshe Soloveitchik, was widely respected for his integrity, not just by the local Jewish population, but by the local Gentile population as well. So much so that once there was a dispute between a Jew and a non-Jew, and the non-Jew very willingly agreed that they should go to Rav Moshe to adjudicate that dispute. So, as happens in a din Torah, so both sides presented their case, their arguments. And then at one point, the Jew leans forward and he whispers into Rav Moshe's ear, "Rebbe, mach mit dem a pshara. Rebbe, make a pshara with him. Make a compromise with him." So Rav Moshe understood right away that the Jew had cheated the non-Jew. And that's why he was saying, "You know, mach mit dem a pshara. So whatever, either way, I'm going to walk away with profit. Either way, it's going to be a windfall because he had cheated." That's what, see, he whispers into Rav Moshe's ear, "Rebbe, mach mit dem a pshara." At which point, Rav Moshe jumped up and b'mlo kalmaso screams at the top of his lungs and tells the Jew, "Right now, pay him every single penny that you owe him." The postscript, which is not really a postscript to the story, is that it was this Gentile in whose favor Rav Moshe ruled in the Din Torah that then tipped Rav Moshe off that he had to escape, that the communist police were going to come to arrest him. The reality of B'chol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chalaseinu doesn't affect our yashrus, it doesn't affect our ethical code, it doesn't affect having Makdim B'Shlom Kol Adam and the Filu Nochri Shevashuk. Another element to be aware of. As powerful and real as the reality of B'chol Dor V'Dor is, as undeniable as it is that there are many such people, we're not supposed to overgeneralize. Not all Gentiles act the same. And there are some who are decent, and there are some who, without necessarily getting into how the term should be used very, very narrowly and specifically and rigorously, there are certainly some who are Hasidei Umos HaOlam. Another story from the Rav Zichron Levracha. It was Ben Amitzar. It was a little boy. I think he was around 3 years old at the time. And he was repeating what he had been taught. He said that on Tisha B'Av, the Goyim broke the Beis HaMikdash. That was the lashon. On Tisha B'Av, the Goyim broke the Beis HaMikdash. At which point, the Rav said, not to the little boy, said, "We're supposed to teach the children that the bad Goyim broke the Beis HaMikdash." So those Shnei Ksuvim of course it could happen here, alongside this other story of the bad Goyim broke the Beis HaMikdash, but both Ksuvim are true. Regardless of the preponderance of one over the other. But there should be a recognition. There should be a recognition. The same way that there should be a recognition that even in the Second World War, there were Hasidim Masa'ulam who risked and sacrificed their lives. That's not what most of them were doing. Most of them were very enthusiastically helping the Germans, Yimach Shemam. But there were. There were Hasidim Masa'ulam. One final word I will say. We've tried a little bit through the lens provided by Chachmei HaMasorah to gain some perspective on the perennial reality of anti-Semitism. But even if we were unable to gain any perspective, we didn't have the Rambam's perspective in Igeres Teimon that really they're waging war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we're only the proxies. We didn't have the Netziv's Vehisha Amdal HaVasein V'lanu. What if we were just confronted with the reality that to be a Jew, to live like a Jew, to be Oved Hashem, to learn Torah, and be Mekayim Mitzvahs, we're going to individually and collectively have to endure anti-Semitism. What if we didn't have any perspective, but just that stark reality? What would our reaction be? Ashreinu, matov chalkeinu, umanoim goralenu, for the schus to be a Jew, for the schus to live like a Jew, for the schus to be osek b'torah v'mitzvahs, for the schus of being on track, that Olam Haba is tzofen l'tzadikim, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, and ein tzadikim el Yisrael, for that zuchus, ashreinu ma'tov chalkenu, u'ma'noim goralenu, u'ma'yofa yirushasenu.
Everyone here to listen as well. I'll be on